Okay, so let's start. 1, 2, 3. Attention, attention, calling all looters. This is the assignment.
You got 5 seconds to tell me where you buried the loot. Where's the loot?
I don't know who's got the loot. I don't know if anybody's got the loot.
Hello, looters. Welcome to the Movie Loot. My name is Carlo, and I'll be leading the assignment. What is that? Well, this is the episode where me and a guest will choose the set of categories of what to watch during the month of May, and that will be our loot. And for that, I'm joined by writer for hire, Mel Valentin. How are you doing, Mel?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
It's really great to have you here. We've been interacting for a while now on Twitter, and you've always been very insightful and knowledgeable in your comments. I love always reading what you write. So I always thought it would be great to have you on the show at some point, and here we are.
Yeah, great. Yeah, and you've had a friend of mine on before. And she, you know, she's a friend in the real world, Sylvie.
Yeah. I know. Past guest, Sylvie. I know we're mutual friends. So that's great. Yeah. And why don't you tell us a bit about what you do?
Well, generally, you know, I've just been doing the film review thing for 10, 15 years now. A lot of different sites. Unfortunately, a lot of sites that have gone under because that's the nature of the business, you know. So like
defunct.
One of my big sites. Yeah. You write for like 9 years and then it goes under. And like, oh, there were 700 reviews on that site. And, you know, so you have to kind of rebuild your cred and new sites and everything. So that's kind of like the fun and not fun part, you know, that have, you know, I always try to have multiple sites that I write for.
Yeah.
Just partly for that backup and also so I can write what I want to write and not always just be sort of at the beck and call or just having, you know, one editor decide. Because they're always, every site has multiple writers, you know, and if you take up too much space or too many reviews, people get resentful. And I've had that happen. Like, oh, Mel's always doing this. And one guy once I referred to me as, whenever I see you posting, I know you're going to eat my lunch. And I'm like, what? I don't steal anybody's lunch. It was just such a funny phrase to me. Like, your lunch? I'm stealing your lunch? You know, so, you know, whatever. But, you know, we're cool. But originally, you know, every time I would pop into the Slack channel, he's like, uh-oh, Mel's going to come in with something.
Uh-oh. So is there any topic that you're particularly passionate about in film?
Not really, because I think I tend to love all genres. I mean, I think if you're going to be a film critic, it helps.
Okay.
To, you know, at least like most genres, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some that obviously you're not as comfortable with or don't do as much for you, so... I mean, I've always tended to gravitate toward horror and science fiction, but on the other hand, I've always, you know, try to stretch that and go beyond that and not just go beyond my comfort zone.
Yeah,
and learn a little bit more. And so there's always, you know, I always feel like with film, it's kind of a lifetime of watching and learning and reading about films and different artists. So, you know, like one of my favorite artists is kind of almost fallen. I won't say into disrepute, but people don't talk about him as much as they did 10, 15 years ago when I was sort of coming up, like Luis Buñuel. I was just talking to a friend of mine, you know, in career.
Yeah.
He's had like multiple careers, first in Spain, then
then
in Mexico. He was briefly in the US, then he moved on. Well, he stayed in Mexico or came back to Mexico for a while, then went to France where he ended his career. He made so many different types of films in different countries, and he was always just trying to work and, you know, get his vision out there. You know, but like in the 70s, I think, you know, he was considered, you know, a top flight filmmaker, and every film was sort of an event. And now you don't hear about him as much, you know. And I was like, "Hey, we need to talk a little bit more about him." I consider him sort of one of my sort of seminal filmmakers. Where I was like, "Wow, he could do so much." And also, I think, you know, he was making so many films in Spanish and in Mexico, and he was kind of working within a system, but also trying to push that system and put some of his own vision into the films. So one of my favorite films is El Nazarene. I don't know if you know it.
Yeah, I think you. So I don't know if it was you that recommended it to me, right?
Possibly, very possibly, yes, when I can.
I think you did recommend it to me. I've only seen two of his films. I've seen Un Cien Andalou and his last one, Dad, Object, Object of
That's
Desire.
True Object of Desire.
Yeah. And I love that film. I thought it was. I even brought it up in my final loot, one of my previous episodes where we talked about the last films of directors that are no longer with us, our favorite ones. And I brought that one as one of my top five because I really enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, that's a high note for him to go out on.
Yes. Definitely.
You know, because other filmmakers, it might stumble a little bit, even like the great Hitchcock had his great periods. And, you know, 60s, he kind of, and then by the 70s, it just seems like he was kind of spent.
Yeah,
definitely. Didn't have much left. But he filmed like he made 50 films. So hey, you know.
Yeah, it's like a weird example. I mean, I think he averaged like 1.5 film per year. He was
right.
So prolific. I mean,
right.
But like you said, I definitely think that trying to experience and experiment with different genres and different types of film is definitely a plus, and it's definitely going to be a plus for this experiment, because basically what we'll be doing today is receiving the assignment of what will be our loot, choosing the categories of what we'll watch. It's the beginning of May, so once we finish today, we both will have our assignment, our mission of what to watch during the month. Mel, how we just talk about that, but how open are you to watching different types of film? We've had a couple of challenging categories through the year. January had us watching a film from Sudan that was hard to choose. February, we had a film from Kuwait. That was a category that my guest chose, and he had a hard time finding one.
That's what I was going to say. Sometimes, the categories might be hard to find a film.
Yeah.
From that and country that's online too, obviously. Or
Yeah. But Marsh, my guest, had a hard time with a film with the word time in its title. He ended up settling for Beastmaster 2 through the Portal of Time.
Time after time. Come on.
Yeah.
There's the Roddy McDowell and Malcolm McDowell.
He even said to me that he said that in the episode when we were talking about it. He said, I know there were tons of Once Upon a Time in Mexico, Once Upon a Time in China, Once Upon a All right. the Once Upon a Times were good choices. Well, what did I settle for? Beastmaster 2 through a Portal of Time. That's what they said.
And Once Upon a Time in the West is one of my favorite films.
No, definitely. Top three Western for me.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I used to hate Westerns, but then one time I just hated them so much. It was kind of a thing. My father used to really like Westerns because he grew up around horses. I had no interest, so I always avoided them. And then as an adult, just hanging out with some friends, probably doing a few, college-age friends, you're smoking a little weed, and then that came on, and I was like, what is this movie? I can't believe it, And so I was, so entranced with that, and then all of a sudden just started reading up about Sergio Leone, the other films, and I had already seen, Fistful of Dollars, but it just hadn't really registered, and all of a sudden, my interest went from zero to, 100 just by watching that film, and then wanted
definitely.
To, go back and fill in a lot of other filmmakers. So
it's usually the foreign ones, the ones that give my guests a hard time, but that one was a special. But I'm sure you noticed I put a couple of interesting remote categories on the list. So it can be anything. Are you ready?
Yes, go for it.
Okay, so let me just share something for a bit. There we go. Can you see that?
I see it now.
Okay.
I see the picture. Okay. I didn't realize the floating head. Okay.
that's part of the fun. You're the guest. Why don't you start us off with your first category? What do you want to watch first? Okay.
Well, I mean, there are a couple categories and they kind of fit the same. And I made a quick list because the one that you had a lot of flexibility with was the top five from Sight and Sound. So anything with the number five.
Okay. So that would be your first one. Let's see. Let me see. Where did I put it?
Oh, you had a pull down menu. Perfect.
Yeah, I have a lot of fun with this.
Because there are so many great films that, at 5, 15, 20, 25, whatever. So.
Yeah, that's the thing. The first category chosen by Mel is a film from the Sight and Sound Greatest Film, the recent one, Sight and Sound Greatest Films of All Time, whose ranking includes the number 5. So just like Mel said, it could be number 5, it could be number 15, number 25, number 35, and so on. So I'm sure there would be a couple of great choices there. But let me see if I can choose one. I like I told you, I haven't looked at the list a lot. So let me just browse quickly and see what I can come up with. I'm going to choose this one because I'm a sucker for train films. So I'm going to choose a film mostly set on a train.
Okay.
I like those kind of films. As I chose that one, do you have anything that comes to your mind right now?
The Buster Keaton film. General,
yeah.
That's one film. The other one, let's see, you could come up with Von Ryan's Express with Frank Sinatra, early 60s. It's kind of a sort of takeoff on The Great Escape. It came out a couple of years later. Okay. It's modeled along the same way. A bunch of World War II prisoners of war try to make their escape behind enemy lines, and they basically end up taking a train to get out. And then there's also the John Frankenheimer film from 63, 64, The Train with Burt Lancaster.
Oh, I haven't seen it. Oh, yeah. I've
where he plays a Frenchman. It's a very good film, and Frankenheimer, had a great run in the 60s.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of them.
He did Seconds, right?
He did Seconds, Manchurian Candidate,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Grand Prix, a lot of it depended on the quality of the scripts he had, but The Train is a pretty strong film.
Okay.
It's got Nazis, so you can root against them. They're easier to root against.
I hadn't heard of, I mean, I had heard the title, but I didn't know much about it. So that's definitely a solid option. Okay, Mel, so your next category, what do you choose now?
I would choose movies from the 1950s.
Oh, that's a good option. That's
yeah, there's so many.
A huge pool, yeah, to choose from. Anyone that you like had in the back of your mind that you wanted to, this is the one I don't want to watch.
Well, it was also on the Sight and Sound poll, but Imitation of Life by Douglas Sirk.
I haven't visited that one
in a long time. But, you know, he had a great run in the 50s, Written on a Wind, Imitation of Life, Magnificent Obsession, All That Heaven Allows. So that one's
I saw that one.
Yeah, with Rock Hudson, Jane
Wyman.
Yes. So, yeah, okay. So one of his films was coming to mind. But obviously you could do Hitchcock if you want to. But, you know, Hitchcock's kind of easy.
I'm pretty sure that there is some, I've seen a good bunch of Hitchcock films, but I'm sure there are a couple of 50s ones that I haven't seen. Under Capricorn, I think it's 50s. Paradigm Case, I think it's 50s, maybe. Stage Fright, I think it's 50s.
Yeah, and it's 51.
Yeah, I haven't seen those. So it might be a good option, yeah.
There's a Wrong Man, I Confess, with Montgomery Clift. Yeah. You know, he tried to go into almost like the social realist realm, making these black and white films that are less about the suspense and more about the characters and their internal dilemmas. And they're okay. They're not you know, when you're so used to what Hitchcock sort of brings to the table and he's doing something very different, you kind of have to roll with it and not just say, oh, well, this is a Hitchcock film. It feels like an anti-Hitchcock film. So
I like The Wrong Man, yeah.
Yeah. And Stage Fright's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
I haven't seen that one yet. I haven't seen that one. And you mentioned I Confess. I haven't seen I Confess either.
Okay. Yeah, so big Montgomery Clift fan. He's another one who had basically his run in the 50s.
I saw a couple of Montgomery Clift films recently, and I really enjoyed his presence. I saw, I think it was last year, but mid last year, The Heiress. Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah. The Heiress. Yeah. With Olivia de Havilland.
Yeah. Yes. Love that film. Huge fan of that film. So definitely, like we said, a big pool to choose films from. So have you seen Sweet Smell of Success?
I have, yes. It's a terrific film. Yeah.
One of my favorite noir. So,
another Burt Lancaster film.
So yeah.
You can pair it up with The Train.
So let me see what I come up with. I usually like to do the country one, so I think I'm going to go with one because I always think it's a great way to experiment with different films. So I think I'm going with one. I'm going to go with Croatia, film from Croatia. Let's see what we find there.
Okay. Well, if you come up with anything, feel free to shoot me some suggestions too.
At least whenever I choose one of these countries, I try to look just to see that there's something to choose from. And
right, they actually have some films made. And
I think I saw a bunch of films from Croatia. So I think we're good. Okay. So the final category is the funny one because this is a randomizer and this is where you're going to give me a number and the randomizer is going to shoot a random category. So that will make it more fun for that last one. So it's going to be up to you.
How many numbers?
Let me just remove the ones that we just chose so we don't get a repeat.
Yeah, that makes sense. Croatia. All right, I'm going to... Well, it's a question of like not only finding the films, but also if they're available to stream somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, because that's always like the tricky part, you know. Even more popular films, you're like, wait, where is it? That's one of the things I hate about how things have just fragmented so much. You know, Netflix was great for a while because everybody was going there. All the studios were just essentially dumping all their films. But once they decided, hey, we want to stream ourselves, we're like, okay, now we have like 10 streamers and stuff pops on and off all the time. So you might start a show and not realize that it's going off.
Yeah.
And then you go back to it and you're like, oh, it's gone now. Where did it go?
But like you said, we can stay in touch and share anything we find. Check this list. That's what I've done with my other guests. We've kind of stayed in touch and said, check this list, and maybe you'll find something. Okay, there we go. Okay, so 1 to 25.
All right, let's go with 12.
12. Boom, another country. A film from Paraguay.
Okay. All right. Spanish language, we'll see, hopefully.
Yeah. Definitely two categories to have fun with. So.
Unfortunately, it's like, if it was Mexico, like, okay, they've got a big industry. So
yeah.
That would have been easy. I don't know. Do you do this thing? Not Spingoli. Shudder has Joe Bob Briggs, Last Drive-In.
I've heard about the show, but I haven't really seen it.
Yeah. You know, he's always plays it sort of both ways where he tries to sort of play this dumb hick. You know, he kind of plays the stereotype of the Texan, but every once in a while he lets the mask fall and you realize, okay, he's really smart and he's really thoughtful. And he's gonna throw some interesting insights into the conversation. And so last Friday, because it was Cinco de Mayo, you know, he was sort of playing up some of the stereotypes, you know, with the clothes and the hat and the drinks and everything, like, oh, where's this going? And then he showed two films on Shudder, and one of them was this film called Don't Panic, which was not very good, but the backstory is more interesting because the director was like the son of a producer in Mexico, so he was kind of well established. And the films he made like four films that he made both in English and in Spanish. And so all his actors had to be bilingual and had to be very good at both languages. So he filmed them simultaneously, you know, so he'd shoot the same scene twice, once in Spanish and once in English. So it's kind of interesting. And so we saw this sort of Nightmare on Elm Street, a ripoff called Don't Panic. Was not very good. You know, it's only good in the sense that you're watching it because it's bad. You know, it's a bit clumsy. Then he showed Issa Lopez's film, Tigers Are Not Afraid, which is not like his usual stuff. It's not like it's not a B movie. You know, you're not enjoying it because it's bad. It's the opposite.
I've heard about that one.
Oh, man. And that's such a terrific film. So I was wondering how he's going to handle that. And I mean, he got into a much more somber mood because it's about the kids. You know, to me, it's kind of a magical realist supernatural version of Los Olvidados.
Yeah.
Which was well made in Mexico. So it's about these street kids who are all been orphaned by gangs and drug cartels who are trying to survive. And then there is sort of the supernatural element that runs through it. And the kids are so good. It's just like from, you know, the number one kid, the two co-leads, all the way down to like the smallest kid are just all fantastic.
There's not a weak link in the bunch.
And there isn't. And you're wondering, how did this happen? Because often that's the weakest part of a film. When you have kid actors, that's not their fault. And it turned out that the director basically chose people who hadn't acted before. So she had these, you know, all these auditions everywhere. So she picked these kids who were basically raw. And then she sent them to a 6-week intensive seminar with an acting coach so that so they would learn basically like method acting, like the whole emotional vulnerability stuff, and not be affected and not deliver lines the way a lot of kid actors do in a sing-song way. And they had counselors or helpers on set. So when the kids had to play really emotional scenes, they could help them come down from it as well. So it was a really, really remarkable. Like I said, those two co-leads, just, I was like gobsmacked at how good they were. They were the equal of adult actors. And I'm like, okay, I don't know if these are just one-offs, but I would love to see these kids continue working, you know?
I'm definitely going to consider that for some time down the stretch.
Yeah, absolutely. I highly recommend
it. Okay, so Mel, here we have our five categories. We have number one, a film from the Sight and Sound greatest films of all time, whose ranking includes the number five. We have a film mostly set on a train. We have a film from the 1950s. We have a film from Croatia. And we have a film from Paraguay. So that's our assignment for the month. Are you up for it, Mel?
Absolutely, yes.
Definitely.
Let's do it.
We also want to remind everyone that we have our Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/movieloot, where for as little as $3, you can support the show. Those that sign up might have something to do with our loot at the end of the month. But putting that aside, what will happen at the end of the month is that me and Mel will meet again to talk about this loot of films that we will watch. Mel, it was great to have you here, and we'll meet again in a couple of weeks.
Yes, sounds great.
So thanks to everybody for listening, and stay tuned for our next episodes. Yesterday, we dropped a special episode on John Woo's Face Off. My April Loot episode will drop soon, and this month we'll have the return of the Hidden Loot, where me and a guest will talk and recommend a bunch of obscure or little-known films. That's always a lot of fun. Other than that, follow us on Twitter at TMML2021 and me personally at TiffCGT. Mel, where can people follow you and check out your stuff?
Generally, like I said, on Twitter, Real Mel Valentin, because I'm usually the only one. Same thing on Facebook, not as often. And then for the three sites that I generally write for the most are Screen Anarchy, Synapse, and That Shelf. So you can catch my reviews there, usually on a weekly basis.
We're definitely going to talk more with Mel about his writing and his work on our May Loot episode at the end of the month. Also, listen to The Movie Loot on every podcasting platform. And again, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/movieloot. Everything you put up will be used to keep the show going. So everybody, have a good night and let's grab the loot.